You are Locked On Knicks, your daily podcast on the New York Knicks. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to Locked On Knicks, the podcast that's in the 99th percentile of We Must Protect This House. I'm your host, James Marcina, a.k.a. Money in the Bank, Nilakina, a.k.a. My Shit Don't Stank, Nilakina, a.k.a. Hank Hillakina, Bobby, a.k.a. Ennis Cantor Stop, Ennis Wonter Stop, and this is episode 208. On today's show, the Knicks lose a heartbreaker to the Cavs. They're breaking my heart. Frank stands up to the king of all cornballs, LeBron James. And the Knicks bid a tearful farewell to Mindaugas Kuzminskas. Let's start the show.
Yes!
The Knicks lost a heartbreaker to the Cavs on Monday night. 104-101, giving up 43 points in the fourth quarter while surrendering a 20-point lead. It was a huge gut punch. Like, it really, truly, it sucked. It really sucked. It fucking sucked. It was awful. It was fucking terrible. It was awful. I hated it. You hated it. We all hated it. Especially after all that LeBron, Frank bullshit. More on that in a bit. So it was garbage. It was doo-doo butter. You know, it was poo-poo. But it was also great. It was great. Because now I fucking hate LeBron James. That bald-ass, corny-ass, Ben Affleck and Dazed and Confused picking on a 19-year-old ass bum. And I missed that hate. Did you hear what I'm saying? I missed it. The past few years, I've felt nothing, really. I've sit back and I've watched and I've admired players like LeBron, like Steph Curry, like Draymond Green, like Kyrie Irving. And it's all been with a, you know, considered detachment that some may call, you know, maturity, but I would call just a lack of feeling, a numbness. It was easy to like these guys, to respect them, to appreciate them, because the Knicks sucked. I had no competitive reason to hate them. It was like they existed in a completely different world from any of the Knicks or anything that they were doing. But the Knicks don't suck now. I mean, yeah, they've got a long way to go before they're championship contenders. I'm not saying the chip's coming this year. But they don't suck. And it's filling my heart, my black shriveled heart, with basketball hate for cornballs like LeBron. See, one of the great things about sports is it gives us an outlet for hate. For, you know, this tribalism that we've all got in our hearts. Let's be honest. There's good and bad in all of us. It's better to healthily, the key here is healthily, to healthily channel it at cornballs like LeBron. Because that's better than just about any other way you could handle hatred. Now, I said healthily. I'm not saying don't do anything weird. Don't stalk LeBron, please. Don't call him, like, really shitty names. Don't be, like, a racist Boston fan, you know what I mean? No epithets, please. Even if you are a racist monster, please keep it to yourself. We don't want to hear your bullshit. But you should definitely yell at LeBron on the TV screen. If you see him walking down the street, you can politely call him a cornball. Like, don't chase him. But if you're, like, walking in the opposite direction and he makes eye contact with you, you'd be like, LeBron, pretend like you like him and be like, you're such a huge cornball. Like, that's okay, I think, you know? Sidebar, speaking of LeBron being a cornball, I really think we should serenade him with cornball, cornball chants to the tune of, you know, the smash hit Airball. next time he comes to the Octopus's Garden. If I could somehow make this happen, it would easily be a career highlight of mine. That's a little bit of a ways away, so I'll remind you guys when we get closer to the action, but I would love to make that happen. Getting back to this loss, it sucked. It was terrible. It was horrible. I feel like I got kicked right in the nuts, punched right in the nuts by Chris Paul, but that's fine. And I've got some news for you guys. I mean, I think you know this because you're smart Knicks fans, but for people who may be listening, wanting some Schadenfreude, first of all, fuck you. But second of all, I got news for you. Before the Knicks win the chip, which KP and Frank will bring home one day, I'm not afraid to say it. These other bums out here might be afraid to say it. I'm not afraid to say it. There's going to be at least one epic playoff defeat. I'm talking about both like individual games here, series. That's just what's going to happen. It's the way of the world. Jordan's Bulls, you know, we think of them as the most dominant team prior to the Warriors, right? You know, coming after the Celtics. But like, as Knicks fans, right, those Bulls teams, the ones that kept us from our dreams for so many years, they got beat by the bad boy Pistons a few times before they prevailed. Bringing it, you know, closer to the present day, LeBron's super team down in Miami took a year to get things straight. The normal route of a contender is dealing with high-profile defeat before finally overcoming. Like, this is to be expected. And all it does is make the eventual championship, or whatever success you have, maybe a couple Eastern Conference finals, maybe a finals appearance. It doesn't always work out that way in the end. Life's not a fairy tale, you know what I'm saying? But all it does is it makes that success that much sweeter. And this may be a little bit masochistic of me, but I've been missing that gut punch feeling. It tells me I'm alive. It tells me I care. Extremely Johnny Cash voice. I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. The good news is we don't need to cut ourselves because we've got these Knicks games. It tells us that we're feeling, that we're alive. These feels, y'all. I mean, if you missed the show recently, you may have missed that I've been in the UK for work. Thankfully, I'm back now. I'm back in New York. I just got back. But I was still there for this game. And I was so amped up by Frank shoving LeBron in the first quarter and for the Knicks, the run that the Knicks went on after that, and more on that in a moment, that I stayed up till 3 in the morning. It was around 3:15 by the time I finally went to sleep to watch the rest of this game. This regular season-ass game in November. I was losing my mind. I was cursing out LeBron on Twitter. I deleted one tweet because I was like, that's a little weird. I was like, I can calm down a little bit. Be an adult here, James. I was screaming alone in my hotel room. Like, I felt like I was 12 years old in a shitty Italian restaurant, pretending to have to go to the bathroom over and over again so I could watch Jordan rip my friggin' heart out on a small TV above the bar. Sidebar, yes, my parents were monsters and sometimes made us go get dinner during a playoff game, but that's a story for another pod, another therapy session. The Cavs' loss sucked, but love, people, love! It's great precisely because of the possibility of heartbreak. You need that negative flip side to be monstrously negative to make the positive reality appropriately joyful. In some ways, this is kind of fucked up, but nothing makes you feel more alive than pain. You ever been super depressed? You're like, I don't care about anything. Like, you would want to feel pain, so there's nothing there. Pain, this heartbreak, it's all there is. You get heartbreak, you get lost, then you get victory, and you get joy, birth, death, renewal, the cycle. That's life, baby! Enjoy this shit. Knicks are back. Didn't work out this last game against Cleveland in the end. But this isn't like the old Knicks, where you're like, oh, this is the beginning of the end. They're about to rip off 40 losses in a row. Knicks are back. They're decent. Their point differential, to throw a stat out there during this soliloquy. I checked a couple days ago, but it was, they were plus 1.2. That's, you know, subtracting defensive rating from offensive rating. And that's about a 500 team. Right now, they're about a 500 team with the ability to improve, clearly. And we're going to be there to enjoy the improvement and to see where this team goes. It's going to be great. All right, I'm going to talk to you guys about Frank. I'm going to talk to you guys about Enes Kanter and LeBron and that whole scuffle and breakdown. First, just want to remind you, you are listening to the Locked On Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, please consider heading on over to iTunes and rating us 5 stars. It'll really help. I would greatly appreciate it. Locked On Knicks. All right, let's talk about the real story of the game in a little segment I like to call This is the story of the game. And that's Frank versus LeBron. Come on, let's be honest. Frank versus the Cavs, Frank versus the world, Frank versus everybody. The backstory, I'm sure you know it. Let's go over it quickly in case you don't. LeBron ran his mouth, said the Knicks fucked up by not acquiring Dennis Smith Jr. in the draft. And people rightfully took that as a shot against Frank Ntilikina because he was the player the Knicks drafted instead of Dennis Smith Jr. LeBron said it's definitely not a shot at him, it's a shot at Jackson. That's what he said on Monday before the game. Just want to tell LeBron that's not how this works. The shot that you're taking at Jackson is for taking the wrong guy, which by definition is a statement claiming that Frank Ntilikina is not as talented as Dennis Smith Jr. He's not the right guy. He's the wrong guy. So this is not a shot at Jackson, but not a shot at Frank. That's impossible. I'll put it to you like this, LeBron. That's like if you went to your wife and told her that her makeup looks horrible. But you're complaining about the makeup, not her face. Your face is great, babe. Makeup on you right now looks terrible. Makes you look like a hideous clown, circus beast. But it's the makeup's fault, not yours. I'll forgive him, though. LeBron, I'll forgive you. I mean, you're not getting paid to be intelligent outside of the realm of basketball. But that's okay. You know, you may not be a critical thinker, but you're still quite good at the game of basketball. I'll give you that. I've got to give you your props. He also said people really got their pants in a bunch and things of that nature. About his original comments, which is extremely Stephen A. Smith diction. So that's the level we're operating at here, right? In terms of LeBron's thinking ability. Then he said, people who just live in the box, and for Enes Kanter, who's always got something to say, I don't know what's wrong with him. That's who this statement was for people who live in a box. I live in the real world, LeBron! And I just know how to think critically about, data that I'm handed. Whether it's a quote or some numbers, your story doesn't check out. Once again, you're a cornball. So, you guys have all seen it by now. There was a lot of build-up to the game. First quarter. Cue Tom Petty's I Won't Back Down. I don't think we have the rights for that one, but just pretend it's playing in the background. First quarter, LeBron gets an alley-oop. The ball rolls behind him toward the baseline, and Frank goes to get it, but LeBron kind of like gets in his way. He crowds him. He puts his big stupid chest in his way. Frank shoves him a couple of times because he's not intimidated. He's not a punk. Tony Brothers, the referee, gets in between them to keep things calm. Enes Kanter, however, runs over, starts jawing at LeBron. They gotta break them both up. Double techs. That's what happened. My interpretation, it's just not possible for me to love Frank Ntilikina any more than I do right now. Although if he started shooting occasionally, that might help. Look, that's going to come. I don't even want to rag on him in this episode for that. But what we saw when Frank didn't back down to the best player in the league, you know, shouts to Steph Curry, shouts to Kevin Durant, is it really fired up the Garden crowd. Like, they went nuts. The crowd's starting to sound a little feral again. I like it. And the Knicks, not coincidentally, went on a huge run afterward, pushing the lead into the high teens. They finished the half up 13, including a nice putback yam from Doug McDermott, who's really the secret sunner on this team. He's had a couple of yams where you're just like, shove it in there, big boy. Phrasing. The run that Ntilikina sparked also included bunch of nice transition looks, some big threes from Lee and Hardaway. And then Lakina, I mean, I talk about him not backing down to LeBron, which is great, but he played rugged defensive games. 6 steals, including picking LeBron's pocket for a fast break after the incident. He had Wade spooked at one point, Dwayne Wade, you bum, and he dribbled it off himself trying to get away from Frank. At another point, he stuck his arthritic old man hands in the passing lanes, and one of Frank's lasers stubbed his fingers. I'm going to call it. I think it's safe to say, Dwayne Wade, you're Frank's son. Sorry. It's just the way things are. Now, Cantor and LeBron, they were going at it before the game. They were going at it during the game, and they continued to go at it after the game. Here are some post-game comments from Enes Kanter. I'll tell you one thing. This team is really special. And you ain't coming to my house playing that water bottle flip game again. I don't care who you are, what you call yourself, king, queen, princess, whatever you are. You know what? We're going to fight. Ain't nobody out there going to punk us. So we're just going to go out there, play our game, and we're just going to get better and better every day. I love the moxie. I love that he says we can't let them punk us. I'm actually reading 7 Seconds or Less right now. And there's a chapter where, you know, they're talking about the Suns, obviously, the whole book. And Alvin Gentry, who was an assistant at the time, the Suns go down 3-1 to the Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. And there was an incident with, like, Kwame Brown pulling, like, a Scottie Pippen over Patrick Ewing type thing. Like, he threw, I forget who it was, to the ground and then walked over him and waved his crotch in the air. Or hovered his crotch over the guy's face. Point being, Alvin Gentry's like, we're getting punked. We can't get punked. It looks so bad. It's, like, bad for morale. The other team smells blood. You have to have, like, this fuck you attitude. And, like, everyone, like, really agrees. So I like seeing Enes Kanter, you know, stand up for his team here. I think that's important. I think you need that, not to be shoved around. Also a teachable moment for Enes. I know he's not a bad person. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt, so I'm just going to let him know. Teachable moment. I'd prefer if he stayed away from the queen and princess stuff as derogatory terms going forward. Putting someone down for being, you know, like a woman is not cool. You know, women are great. Some of them are hard as fuck. I wouldn't mess with them. You know what I mean? Other than that, I love the reference to LeBron playing the water bottle flip game last year at the Garden. Kanter, he knows his history. He wasn't even on the team last year. And he's like, don't come in here with that shit. So I appreciate that. After the game, LeBron was told of Enes Kanter's comments, and he called him corny, which is something. Coming from the cornball to end all cornballs. The High Lord of Cornington. I mean, I guess he knows what he's talking about with his corny-ass Kermit-sipping-tea hat, his corny-ass Arthur memes, and his corny-ass all-good-never-better hat. So, yeah, he's familiar with corn. So maybe he called out, you know, Cantor might deserve that for the queen-princess thing, like I said. But otherwise, you know, LeBron takes one to no one. Then he had that tweet calling himself the King of New York for barely winning a regular season game against a team that missed the playoffs last year. Now, sometimes you gotta, like, fake it till you make it. Sometimes you gotta be the one who tells people that you're great until they figure it out, right? Like, I tell people I'm great all the time because no one knows it yet. We're getting there. Locked On Knicks is helping spread the gospel of James Marcina. Oh, that's disgusting. I'm sorry. But everyone knows LeBron is great, right? So he should just let his greatness do the talking. Like, enough about this. And I want to share with you guys something really amazing. Shouts to fan of the week, listener of the week, Eddie A., who passed along this audio of his delightful, adorable young Knicks fan daughter giving LeBron the business. I'm just going to play it for you. Let's listen to it.
LeBron, let me put your arm in. LeBron, keep the Knicks out your mouth. LeBron, would you look again? LeBron. I hope KP stomps on you. They look for my next.
That's good shit, right? I'm obsessed with that. Oh, man. Okay. I want to talk about the game in a little bit more detail. First, just want to say you're listening to Locked On Knicks, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like what you hear, but you like other teams, either in basketball or football, we've got a podcast for that. Check it out. Locked On Podcast Network. So like I said, I stayed up till 3 to watch the game in the UK the other night. I was just way too hyped after watching Frank step to LeBron. Unfortunately, we witnessed an epic collapse. I mentioned that, in the opener. You saw it. And this one's really all on the defense. They gave up 43 fourth quarter points. They played a great game through three quarters, fourth quarter. LeBron took over, basically. And that manifested itself in Kyle Korver catching fire. He scored 19 of his 21 points. But a lot of that, I think LeBron assisted on 30 points of the 43 fourth quarter points is the official number. And so some of that was Kyle Korver shaking loose and being hit with timely passes. I wanted to see Frank come back in earlier than he did, to be honest. I think he could have helped stick with Korver. But I like Joe Flynn from Posting and Toasting his take this morning. This is a quote from him. He said, "Who should be blamed for leaving so many Cavs three-point shooters open? Jared Jack, Timmy, the coaches, pretty much everyone. But I will say that the Knicks have been over-helping for years now, not just these particular players. As for Hardaway, he was part of a top-10 defense last year in Atlanta, so perhaps it's more of a coaching thing. I think there's some scheme things going on. I think the Cavs just, the Knicks were sunning them for three quarters, but they're a good team. They've got a lot of bums on their team. Shumpert. he was so bad in this game. He had like one nice block. He was such trash. I loved it. But they're still the Cavs. They got LeBron. Sometimes, a good team executes. And it sucks. And it led to an epic collapse. But I think that's what happened. I don't think there was any one thing that was like so atrocious. Knicks got a couple of bad bounces. They were due for some of those. Kyle Korver had a three that rattled around. It went like, it popped like 14 feet in the air before falling through the rim. It was ridiculous. You couple that with, we had like an off night from KP, quote unquote, which is unfortunate, but it's going to happen from time to time. Superstars have off nights. He still put up 20 points, however, not on a very efficient shooting. 7 of 21 shooting. And he missed three like pretty big free throws down the stretch when the game was hanging in the balance. He was 2 for 5 from three, which is great. That's fine. Totally acceptable. He just wasn't feeling it the same as he has been. Was he too amped up? I don't know. I don't think so. I think it's just one of those things. Maybe he was a little out of it. Who knows why? Slightly lethargic. On LeBron's winning three, Clyde was shouting, "That's where James likes to shoot from." He was like, "Don't leave him open." And he wasn't leaving him open, but he was probably giving him a little bit too much room trying to prevent the drive, And sure enough, LeBron made it. And these things are going to happen. He's the best player in the world. KP's still learning. Apparently, KP was smiling at LeBron. I haven't seen, like, a pic yet, but apparently everyone says he was smiling at LeBron while he was guarding him, which I respect, honestly. That's not like he doesn't care. That's a no moment is too big for this guy. Like, he loves the pressure. Didn't come through this time, but, that's all right. And he only had one assist, but I thought he did a nice job passing out of double teams, especially in the first half. I thought there were a couple of hockey assists there. A great night from Hardaway, though. He is really coming around. He's starting to do some of the things that we thought he would do. He worked his ass off. 10 rebounds. 10 rebounds. Dude, that's great. From your guard? From your two guard? You kidding me? 5 assists and 2 steals. That's just a fantastic all-around hustle game. Oh, yeah, and he scored 28 points on 10 for 20 shooting, 4 of 11 from downtown. He made all 4 of his free throws. He had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, and 2 steals. He was all over the place. Every time the Knicks needed a big play, he was there. He did great, I want to wrap up that section talking about the game. This game was more about like narratives, so not like the thorough statistical breakdown of everything that happened. I wanted to share some of my thoughts on the narratives. One sad piece of news that came in when I recorded the last podcast: we didn't know who the Knicks were going to cut to make room for Joakim Noah. Turns out it was our good friend Mindaugas Kuzminskas. Sorry, I'm just going to put on a little bit of music here to set the mood.
I can't remember when you were there, when I didn't care for anyone but you. I swear, we've been through everything there is. Can't imagine anything we've missed. Can't imagine anything the two of us can't do. Through the years, you've never let me down.
I wanted to keep him, but I get it. You got Doug McDermott. He's playing great at the three. You got Lance Thomas on defense. You know, you got Michael Beasley on offense. Not quite there yet with his overall impact on the game. His plus minus isn't great, but I think they could have signed some random bum off the street to play point guard as well as Sessions. But they are thin there, so I get one to keep him around. You know, Jared Jack is old. He has an injury history. Plus, this builds some much-needed goodwill, in my opinion. You know, it's fun to put on your GM hat and scream, assets, 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 into the void. And I'm guilty of it almost as much as the next guy. But these are real human beings, you know? You're really going to send this guy to Phoenix? Or somewhere similarly horrible? Utah? For the 58th pick in the draft? You know what I mean? I mean, yeah, maybe you do that. But it's not, like, so terrible that you don't. I'm on the side of labor. You guys should be too. Kuz now gets to pick his next destination, right? Like, and this isn't really that much of a missed opportunity, ultimately, in my opinion. Because clearly the Knicks, they weren't going to get anything for him. If no one was even to give up, like, a second-round draft pick to keep him off waivers, I didn't hear anything about anyone offering anything. Now all these teams are interested, sure, because it's, like, for free. They're taking a flyer on him. They don't have to pay his $3 million salary. But anyone could have gotten him for, like, very little, I'm convinced. So the league doesn't value him that much. It's not that much of a missed opportunity from the Knicks. I think it's good from a human being perspective what they did. Let Kuz clear waivers, pick his team. But, you know, I found him personally delightful. I love that he gave his teammates good-natured shit on social media all the time. I thought he had a good sense of humor. I love that he was yamming on them all during Eurobasket. I'm going to miss you, Kuz. Happy trails. May you sun many a suns. Joakim Noah has been named the defensive captain of the team, whatever that means. No coincidence that he presided over the most epic collapse of all time. Just kidding. Can't blame that on him. Great role for him. Let him ride the pine, coach the youngins. If injury strikes literally everyone on the roster, he can soak up some minutes. That's fine. Finishing up on our center news, a report came out, I believe this was from the Post. Apologies if I'm misattributing. It was probably everywhere, so anyway. Billy Hernan Gomez is lacking some confidence. The quote is, he said, "It's tough. That's why I try to work hard every day. If I don't play, the next day I'm pushing myself really, really hard with assistant coach Dave Bliss." Who, by the way, sidebar, amazing beard. And I'm calling it now. We're going to lose him at some point to be a head coach. Seems like the players love him. Our big men are playing great. So shouts to Dave Bliss. But anyway, Willie said, "If I don't play, the next day I'm pushing myself really, really hard with Bliss so I don't lose confidence. It's different, though. It's not the same feel in practice as it is in the game." Sure, that makes sense. "But like Lance Thomas told me during the game, I know what I can do, the things I can do. I just need to play a couple of games for my confidence, like for my finishes, my touch, my free throws." I didn't realize he's missed all his free throws this year. He's like 0 for 8. But, you know, this isn't surprising. I don't think we need to make a huge thing out of it, though. It's natural for him to lose a little bit of confidence. That's bound to happen, but, I mean, he'll get minutes. I'm still not convinced Kyle Quinn's going to keep this up consistently. He wasn't great against the Cavs. Although, again, everyone's just doing off night once in a while. I want him to keep it up, Kyle Quinn. I hope he does. But I think there'll be opportunities for Billy Hernan Gomez. And this isn't ultimately that big a deal, but chin up, Billy. You got some skills. I think I called you Willie a couple times. Might have to put some money in the Billy swear jar. But anyway, that's it for me. Rough loss the other day, but we feel feels again. Get used to it. This is the good times, man. All this fodder for our hatred. We're gonna hate so many players, guys. We're gonna hate so many teams. So many cornballs are out there waiting to be sunned by KP and Frank. I missed caring about games. I don't know about you. I'm ready to care about every stupid November game for the next 10 to 15 years. I'm looking forward to it. You guys should too. I want to thank you for listening to Locked On Knicks. I'm fucking exhausted. Pardon my Italian. I'm so tired right now. But we're going to be back tomorrow with another episode of Locked On Knicks.